Thank you for joining us for this episode of Shoulder to Shoulder, where we strive to grow in love of the Lord and each other. I'm Pam Marvin.
And I'm Megan Silas.
And this topic is rather interesting. Megan and I were just talking about life in general as we saw each other. And I started talking about being productive and what I do. And all of a sudden, how I was like feeling a little bit entrapped and kind of a slave and things like that. So we decided to do an episode on what we're calling the idol of productivity, or the other sub is what's the lie behind it.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure that we had settled on that. Yeah. It's interesting because when you brought it up, you made an assumption about me that I disagreed with as far as devotion to the idea of productivity or feeling uncomfortable in long stretches of time of what could be perceived lack of productivity. And so you thought that I was really ordered towards productivity when actually in reality, I don't struggle with that very much, even though I can be very productive at times, but
yeah. Well, I know one of the reasons I assume that, which is a very interesting point, is that you have, I would say just a really robust energy level in general. Like that's just how God created you.
Sure.
I was not created with a robust energy level all of my life, especially all of my adult life. I'm a little more like, I haven't met anybody that has less energy than me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have experienced you and a couple other people actually who I will say struggle, because I think it is a struggle with a lower energy level. And that is not something that I struggle with. But the way that I feel ordered towards using my energy doesn't always have to be externally evident.
Right.
And I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about personality types and things like that before in this show. And my particular personality type tends to expend a lot of energy in internal processing. So I think sometimes even that word productive can be a little charged, because a lot of times what people assume when you talk about, I was really productive today. So if somebody says that, what do you assume their day looked like?
That they got a lot accomplished from their to-do list.
Right.
Like, you got to do this. I've got to go to the store. I got to go return this. Need to do X, Y, Z. Got to go to the mail, you know.
Right. Clean the house, went to my, you know, did to all these meetings or, you know, did errands, blah, blah, blah. All these external things. But for me, productivity can look like I worked through a concept that I have been pondering.
Okay.
Like I, really wanted to meditate on this, you know, thing I was reading or whatever. So I look at those things as being important and productive. And what I have actually experienced in life for people who tend to judge productivity by exterior manifestations can have a hard time honoring the value of the more interior productivity.
I've definitely experienced that, you know, and it comes across as people say, or think that you're pretty lazy because you're not doing stuff. So if I go to charisms for just a second, you've heard me say this on the show before. The first time I ever did the charisms God gave you from the Catherine of Siena Institute, I kept thinking I have no gifts because none of mine manifest really exteriorly in the world. Like so many of my good friends who have the gift of administration or hospitality or the creative ones such as writing or artistry or things like that.
Sure.
So I thought I had none.
And
that was a real changing point for me to think, well, mine are more interior, but I still have a hard time making that jump that more of my interior stuff that I do is productive.
Right. And I think that society kind of feeds into that way of thinking. Because say, for example, you know, you meet somebody, cocktail party or something like that. Oh, hey, you know, how are you? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like people are, what's your job, or what do you, how are you spending your time in ways that are visible externally? And so what then ends up happening is you start to associate those means of being productive in a visible way to the world with your identity. I am the one who is a teacher, a doctor, or
for me, a mother. I was just, a
homemaker or a homeschooler, or all these things. And so you, when that gets so tied up in this idea about who you are, then this thing of creating an idol out of it happens, because you start to feel like, who am I if I don't? Right? Okay. So if I'm not the breadwinner of the family or the perfect housekeeper or whatever, who am I? That's frightening. I'm not sure I've got value outside of this thing that I have promoted and projected myself to be. Therefore, I need to put all my energy, all my intentionality, you know, into being that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'll have to face the reality that if that all fell away, I would have no idea who I am.
Right, right. Holy, something really came to me as you're saying that, because that is totally me. As being an empty nester recently, I feel like I needed to, and that's what one of the things that brought on the conversation about the idol of productivity is, like, once Dottie moved out of the house last year, I had all this more free time, and I wanted to fill my free time, because I felt like in the absence of doing something, I was unproductive and I'd start to feel bad about myself. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you ask me, well, what is it that you're doing, or, you know, that's making you feel so unproductive or as unproductive? And I would say, just being on my phone, just wasting time, literally just wasting time on social media and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that's no bueno.
Mm-hmm.
That is unproductive.
Right. I mean, and there, so there is this idea that, like, there's a difference between wasting time and different ways of being productive, right?
Let's break it down. I'm ready.
Okay. So what would be something, what makes being on the phone, for example, just scrolling away or mindlessly, whatever, what makes that a waste of time? Let's not say it's unproductive.
Okay.
Say it's a waste of time. So, like, we only have so much time in life, right? Mm-hmm, God's given us a certain number of seconds and minutes and days, and we're called to do something with them to what? Glorify Him.
Exactly.
So why is that a waste of time?
You were actually hitting on it in that definition. For me, am I doing something that brings me closer to Christ? Number one, I want it to be a yes. Or number two, am I being true to my station in life, which, you know, wife, mother, fertility care practitioner kind of thing. So am I doing something that advances the kingdom in those two things? If I'm not, then I'm not being productive.
Right. So in that sense, where is your identity coming from? What starts that whole process? What grounds it?
What do you got to give me more. I'm not
following. So you said... Well, if we look at it in the terms of
what is production,
but this desire, like, okay, God's given me this life in a certain amount of time and I want to serve Him. I want to serve the kingdom and everything. So your identity comes from one who has been given life by Almighty God and wants to use the life that's been given to serve Him. If that's your identity, the productivity is secondary to that.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's really difficult to really embrace that identity.
Yeah. But I think that's the only way we're truly going to be less susceptible to making productivity an idol.
Right.
Because the productivity is the way that the world's going to judge you. It's the way the world's going to measure you and say you have value or you don't have value. That's just the way it is. It is the way it is.
Yeah.
And so unless we've got something to combat that, we will be drawn to that. And it's going to be very hard to resist it, because we won't have this anchor of an identity that transcends that. And you see it in culture so much. Now, the euthanasia movement is, I think, the best example of this reality that says you're no longer productive. You don't even have what the world considers a good quality of life. It's better that you should die. Oh,
hurts my heart.
Okay. So what is your identity if productivity and the pleasures of the world are the things that the value of your life is measured on?
It's a sad life.
It's a sad life. And but yet we assent to it so much when we place productivity as our idol.
Like consent as well. Consent to it. You said assent, but that's it both works. Okay.
Right.
No, because I know that a lot of I've experienced with people as they are getting more aged, you know, really up there in their 80s or so, and have nothing more to do than sit and watch TV or.
But is that true?
Right.
That they have nothing more to do than sit and watch TV. They've got free time that's been given to them that they could be prayer warriors. Our last episode was about prayer and how it matters. Yeah. It really matters. Mm-hmm. And so when you've been given this opportunity now to be in a state of retirement, it's an opportunity to live as a Christian in a different way that is no less productive for its being less obvious to the world.
That's true. That's so true.
But can we really grasp that? Can we really own that reality that just because it doesn't have an exterior manifestation that can be lauded by those around us, that it has less value?
Okay, so you need to talk about that a little bit more, because I even think about some of the interior manifestations. Definitely prayer would be one that's not seen. But I think about a writer who does a lot of thinking and writing, but then they have a product when they're at the end times. At the end of that moment. And so there's still a product. So go into a little more in depth, these intangibles of productivity that do not manifest in the world.
I actually think that everything you do in life has a product, and those products have more or less value.
To whom? To you personally, the world, the people around you, to God.
To everyone. I'd say all of the above.
Okay.
And so it's like, for example, the wasting of time, the frittering away in mindless pursuits.
Yeah.
That has a product. The product of that is a mind and a heart that tends to be listless, tends to lack passion, tends to lack purpose, tends to be turned in on itself because you're just attending to like simple like pleasures that really have no meaning. So there is a product of that behavior. Now, say for example, somebody who is spending a lot of time really doing some deep interior work with the Lord for healing. Nothing exterior is visible. You're praying, you're asking the Lord to have a deep level of self-awareness, to bring to him wounds that you've had. So no one's seeing any of that going on, but the product of that over time will be a person who can live in greater peace, who can share wisdom of that journey of healing with others, who can exist in the world as a blessing instead of as someone who is constantly needing to bring attention to themselves or drama to situations because they're trying to fill these deep needs that have been created by wounds. So you see, these things are all products. And so I guess that's one way to ask yourself, am I being productive or not? It's really not.
What am I producing?
That's not the question.
Ah.
The question is, the answer is yes, you're being productive. Exactly what you just said. What's the product?
Yeah.
What am I producing?
Okay.
There is no lack of productivity.
Yeah.
I think it's also worth distinguishing between like leisure and kind of what you were saying before, like time wasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Joseph Pieper in Leisure, the Basis of Culture, who's a Catholic philosopher, he talks about how important leisure actually is, because leisure is the basis of philosophy and contemplation. Without it, you can't do real philosophy while you're digging ditches or something like that. You know, like you need that time to contemplate and to think and to like, and so.
I think sometimes some really good philosophy while I'm mowing.
But I think sometimes people conflate leisure and being unproductive, or leisure and time wasting.
It's exactly what I think you were saying, where it was like this assumption that just because there's not an exterior manifestation in a proximal, timely manner, that it's not useful. And I think sometimes the people who are very ordered towards the active, you know, outward things, which aren't bad things. We're not saying those are bad things. Those are necessary things, important things, beautiful things. The corporal acts of mercy are all exterior, right? But the spiritual works of mercy often look less, obvious.
I just want to finish
what I'm saying is that I think one of the ways that we fall short in understanding how these more subtle interior works of productivity manifest is because we don't ask people enough questions. You just make assumptions. Oh, you're sitting there. You're not doing anything that looks productive to me. So I'm just going to assume that you're wasting time. How about you ask the question, what are you doing right now? Are you thinking? How is this time impacting who you are and how you think and what you believe?
So these will be all internal questions for me. I don't really have anybody looking at me and asking me these questions. It's all about me.
Well, you can ask yourself the questions.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll be asking myself those questions because over time, because of my lower energy and doing a lot more things, like I'm one of those people that can really read for a while because it's like a low energy thing that I can spend a lot of time doing, which I'm glad to. But then there for a while in my life, I had to give myself permission just to read something entertaining because I felt like it was not time spent well enough on me. Like, all the dishes need to be done. But I have to say, I had to get to the point where when I was, my children were small, that to let myself know that all my time spent with, I was one of those moms that loved playing with my kids. Really enjoyed it. The house didn't bother me. I didn't see it. And didn't, I mean, that was just one of those moms. And, you know, I get judged a lot for having a really dirty home, unkempt or whatever. But now all these years later, I realized I did choose the better part. But during that time, I didn't realize I was really choosing a better part. It was the easier part for me, but I was still pouring it in more to my children than to my home.
You know, we do have to respond to our state in life, and we do have many tasks, exterior tasks, that are important. You know, I'm a strong believer that a large reason why men often find a lot of self-worth and identity in their job is because the Lord has established that they would be providers. And so he's given a certain grace to them to have a lot of motivation to want to excel in the area of exterior work. So those aren't bad things at all. But maybe the question we really need to talk about is, when does a healthy attention to being productive move into an idol? Because to have a priority on productivity isn't a problem. It's a good thing often. And we've been blessed by many examples of saints who were super productive. We were just talking about that Cabrini movie earlier today, and I've seen it. Pam hasn't seen it. But I mean, you look at the life of Mother Cabrini, and my goodness, she was productive and exceedingly productive. But if you asked her what defines her life, is it all that she accomplished, all the productive things? Or was it that she was obedient to the will of God in her life?
Right.
That's the important thing, right? And so, you know, you might have a Mother Cabrini or a Mother Angelica or, you know, Elizabeth Ann Seton, you know, I don't know why women are all coming to my mind. There's, you know, there's all a lot of male saints that, you know, they're super productive as well. Just amazing.
St. John of the Cross.
Done. Yeah. Okay. St. John of the Cross, though.
Ah, it was all contemplative.
He
really
spent so much of his time in the contemplative, but look at how much that's blessed the world. And so it's like, where do you cross the line? So do you have a thought on that? Like, when does healthy, beautiful, faithful productivity move into the idol of productivity?
Yes. I've got a couple of people in my life that I've seen that, just, you know, just knowing them in general, and they are getting their self-worth from their production rather than from the Lord.
Right.
And that's what we need to always take a look at about our self-worth. Mm-hmm. If they place their self-worth in that production, that's an idol.
Yeah, I would agree completely. And I think kind of like a dramatic way that you can maybe do a little test on yourself. Ask yourself, if something dire happened to me today where I would no longer be able to do these tasks anymore, like I was bedridden, do I feel like my life could still have worth?
It's a good question. Good question.
And, you know, maybe at first you'd be like, yeah, of course it would.
Yeah, that was my first
one. But then you really think about your life. No, only people to serve, you have to be served completely. Like, you have to be taken care of.
So I have one question, though. Am I able to pray? Because if I could no longer pray, if I couldn't pray, even if I was bedridden, then the worth would probably be in the people that are serving me and the transformation that God's allowing for them as they serve me.
Right.
That's the only one I can see.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the reality is I know people who would be like, if I'm ever that incapacitated, just, you know, give me the pill and kill me.
Right.
Because there's no reason in living if that's my reality. And if you even have a little faint whisper of that in your heart, that might be a place, you know, to take to prayer, that there is this idol of productivity in your life that says my self-worth, to at least some degree, is dependent on what I am able to do.
Right. I think everybody has a certain degree of that, for sure. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
So what, after your day is done, like a typical day for Megan at home, your day is done about what time? Like, would you say that you've doing your normal businessy or church, whatever it is, what time do you wind down after dinner about?
Usually about 7:30. Okay. We eat a little later at our house. We're not real early eaters.
That sounds normal. So, really, these days.
I've heard a lot of people eat it. 5:30, like that. No. Well, we tend to eat more 6:37. So
you eat 5:30, Caleb?
Growing up, no. We ate late dinner, but I really like coming home from work and Hannah and smelling dinner cooking. And so we kind of transferred, and with little kids.
When you have little kids, that does change things. But, you know,
Let's continue.
By the time, you know, 7:30, 8:00 comes around, we've finished dinner, I've cleaned up the kitchen, you know, and the day is pretty much chill. And unless something's going on, like what I really need to do something for the next day, I tend to not do any quote unquote work.
But what do you do in that time, with that time?
Okay.
From 8 to 10 or whenever you go to bed.
I actually do find that I will, how do I want to put this? Prioritize time spent with my spouse, even if it's not exactly what I would prefer to be doing. So there's places that our interests, as far as leisure enjoyment, intersect. And so while I might prefer to just have the TV off and be doing some spiritual reading or, you know, something along those lines, I know that that doesn't engage my spouse. And so I'll often end up watching, like, you know, a couple hours of television alongside my husband so that we're engaging, you know? Yes. That, and so I think, so
quality
while,
time. Quality
yeah,
time,
yeah. So from, say for example, in the home that I grew up in, my mom really does not do well with sitting and just watching TV. So she'd be up in the kitchen for, you know, she'll just start baking something or preparing something for the next day or cleaning or whatever. Whereas I'm like, no, I really want there to be some time where my husband and I are not doing other things that are, you know, taking us away from each other. So I end up watching probably more TV than I would naturally.
If left to your own devices.
Right. If left to my own devices, but I think it's important because it's a bonding time. So, you know, we'll talk about what we're watching and, you know, laugh together or, you know, make comments back at the TV or whatever. So we'll do that. And then my husband tends to go to bed quite a bit earlier than I do. So a lot of times that's when I'll turn off the TV and then, you know, do some reading. And I try to end each day with some prayer time and, amen, and that sort of thing. So the external visible productivity in my evening is very little if you look at it just from the standpoint of what's accomplished.
Well, let me tell you what I have done kind of absentmindedly, but this is what I've done, is because that space of time, say between like really 7 and 10 mm-hmm. for me, it would be 7 and 10 since I have no one at home. Paul and I usually don't have very heavy meals, so it's not a big dinner production. I started filling that time with doing things like going for a walk with a friend. I'm attending many meetings now in my involvement at church. And so those sometimes go all the way up to 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that by the time I get home, there's very little there's time for like some evening prayers and then bed.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that on purpose because I felt like I was being too idle and unproductive in those 2 hours or 3 hours at home.
So the question I have for you on that is, did you pray with that? Did you come to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, mm-mm, I am experiencing a sense of unrest, a lack of peace in these evening hours as if I'm not using them well, mm-hmm, that I'm being unproductive? Or like, so show me in your eyes, Am I being unproductive? Is this not what you want for me? Is there something you'd like me to be doing otherwise? Or is this just me living out some concept of what I think my life should look like? Did you do that?
Well, let's put it this way. It was more a train of thought of, okay, my youngest child is moving out. There's not going to be a lot of engagement at home. I'll have a lot more time in the evening. So it's okay that I start doing more volunteer work in the church because, again, I feel like I'm moving more purposefully, you know, getting that community as well. And that was kind of my thought process of like letting that time start to get taken up. And now sometimes it's 5 days a week, you know, usually four.
Yeah, which brings up a good question of when you start to have the opposite feeling. That not that I'm not being productive enough, but maybe my efforts to be productive are starting to exhaust me or starting to steal joy from me or simply just not feel like they're being fruitful. Like I'm spinning my wheels like a hamster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, you know,
let me slow you down for a second because kind of where I am is that I am doing all this and I love all that I'm doing with the church. We just did Holy Week missions, which is wonderful. We went and knocked on doors to really evangelize to people in the neighborhood around the church, which is
That's beautiful.
Amazing. It's just, it blesses you in such a way you can't even imagine. But, you know, I was away from my daughter who then was on the weekend. So I find that when I get too full and I've hit that point where I'm too full, that I don't have any time for a good holy rest that we talked about a little bit too.
Yeah.
Like for instance, telling you no, that I couldn't go with you to the Trace because I had too much going on it hurt my heart so bad. So I'm wanting to find that balance again, but now that I've added a grandson too, I have a lot of grandma duties, but those will calm down throughout the year, but that's where I am.
Yeah. And I think that kind of brings up another question of if, you know, you're finding that you feel like you're on the rat race and just getting tired and there's so much. if you feel like you don't have the right or the ability to claim some time for holy leisure, if you feel guilty for that, if you feel like that's not allowed for me, that would be selfish if I were to do that. That might be another indication that there is a bit of an idol of the productivity, or a place that says, I'm not lovable, I don't have self-worth, people aren't going to value me if I'm not doing for them.
Right. No, actually, I've fallen into something a little bit different that may not be exactly healthy. So we'll parse this up one too then. So basically, I have this whole abandonment to God's holy will. Said, Lord, I'm just going to let you lead me day in and day out, you know, order my days according to your will for me. And sometimes those weeks are extraordinarily full with good things. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot recently so that I haven't had any of the downtime. So I always kind of think, oh, well, that's the Lord's will for me too, that I don't have, like, you know, going through the Triduum and then Easter Sunday, and then we're up here,
right?
You know? Yeah. So I hadn't had a lot of downtime, but I feel like that's God's providence too, that he's allowed all these things. Mm-hmm. It's still all good things. But I know that at some point I got to get that holy leisure in too, or maybe it's just through prayer that, you know, he comes and he rejuvenates me based on the Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit can do that, just to rejuvenate me with and still be busy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, no, I think that, you know, you get on a point where the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. So, because, you know, he said, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. So what he's telling, that's, you know, he tells that to St. Paul. What he's telling him is like, your weakness isn't the issue, you know, because I can give you everything you need. But it's important, I think, if we're feeling like we're not getting what we need, that the grace isn't feeling sufficient, we need to examine, maybe I'm doing what I'm not called to be doing. You know, you talk about being abandoned to God's divine providence, to his will. That doesn't mean that everything that comes before you, every offer, every request, everything that you have to say yes to, because it must be God's will if somebody asked me. No, God's will is that you discern what he puts before you.
Right.
And if you find that you're saying yes to everything and you're starting to be depleted, what that probably means is you're not in God's will. Mm-hmm. You're going beyond the grace that he has given to you to be sufficient.
So the discernment is where that is. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. And if you're just feeling like, I need some downtime, that feeling very well may be God's voice in your life. It may be the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying, yes, I need you to place yourself in a place of receptivity, not of pouring out. Well, I need to pour in.
I'm very excited to tell you this is going to be my first weekend on the books in a while that I don't have anything planned. I'm super excited. So I finally get that downtime and get to do some of my gardening. I've had stuff to put in the ground and play in the dirt for a while. So finally I get to do that this weekend.
Well, I just want to challenge you.
Okay.
If a call comes through, a request comes through that says, hey, can you help me with this? You just said something. I can't say no.
I have a hard time. Definitely.
Okay. Guess what? If God wants you to say no, his grace is sufficient to you. You can say no.
Yeah.
And the enemy will try to tell you, you can't say no. You've got to say no, because if you don't, then you're going to let people down.
It's all good stuff, girl. Right? It's all good.
But what is better than God pouring his grace and love and recreation into you? And so we need to be open to that as his will, even as we are open to the works he wants us to do as his will. So yes, discern. And we can't knee jerk to always think that the thing that looks more productive to the world is the better part. Because what do we see in Martha and Mary? Martha's working. Mary is sitting, being quote unquote unproductive. Amen. And Jesus has said she has chosen the better part. And in that moment for Mary, that was the better part. Someday maybe the Martha action will be the better part for a person as God wills it. But sometimes it's sitting at the foot of the Lord is the better part. And we have to be willing and open to receive that word from him And the only way we're going to be doing that, if we get that idol of productivity off its throne.
Right. What a great way to end this segment. I mean, this episode with the vision of Martha and Mary. That's such a great way to end the idol of productivity.
Amen.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us with this episode of Shoulder to Shoulder. And until next time, stay united with us in prayer. God bless.
God bless.